A teaching of Reb Chaim of Tzantz. There are people who are afraid to give tzedakah to 100 people for fear that one of them will not really deserve it. Where I would rather give to 100 undeserving people rather than miss the one person who truly needs my help. Back in the 1980s, President Ronald Reagan was on a campaign to change our welfare system, reduce the number of people who are receiving public assistance and people who are receiving food stamps. And in his campaign, he spoke about the welfare queen, the woman who drove her Cadillac in her mink stole to the welfare office to pick up her food stamps. And he said, this is why we need to change the welfare system so these people are not taking advantage of the system. By the way, I want you to know that we know who the welfare queen is. She was a rather unsavory woman, lived in Chicago, who did indeed cheat the government out of money through the welfare system. She did drive a fancy car and did wear fancy clothes. She was also tried for kidnapping. She was not convicted. She was suspected of murder. She was never tried for that. The only thing she was ever convicted of was stealing from the welfare system. She stole a total of $9,000, just under a third of the cost of the desk that James Watt put in his office when he took over at the head of the EPA. But yes, there was the welfare queen, the woman who did that. We know her name. You can look it up in the newspaper. It's there. But I remember thinking then, there's a new rabbi here, that something wasn't right about this picture. Something just was not right, because if you're hungry, if you're really hungry, you're not spending your money on fancy cars. You're not spending your money on fancy clothes. You're trying to get food. And if your children are hungry, there's almost nothing you won't do to feed them. Now, I don't mean hungry like, oh God, I'm hungry, I'm starving. We're not starving when we say that. It means we haven't eaten in 20 minutes. And I remember thinking back there in the fall of 1988, how do I teach hunger to people who probably, like me, have never been hungry? I've never been hungry. I've wanted food, but you'll pardon me, you take one look at me and you get an idea that I've not often been hungry. In fact, when I realized it and I thought about it back then, I had never been hungry in my life. Hungry meaning I need to eat and I have no food. And I wanted to teach that. But I knew that my congregation was a lot like me, and probably, with probably just a couple of exceptions, most of you do not know what it's like to be hungry either. So how do I teach it? Because I didn't want to teach sympathy. Sympathy is easy and sympathy is cheap. I could get you to feel sympathetic for people and write a check. I didn't want to do that. I wanted you to feel empathy. Sympathy is when you feel sorry for someone. Empathy is when you feel some of what they're going through. So how do I teach people to be empathetic about hunger when we've never been hungry? Well, okay. I picked the day that we're the hungriest, Yom Kippur. And I got up and I asked, a show of hands, how many of you are hungry right now? Even moderately hungry. I don't mean starving hungry. Who's moderately hungry? Some. Okay. So I asked back then if I could try to help. I'm going to try to help now. Back then, Rich Herzog was our cantorial soloist, and I asked him if he'd join me. So, Rich, would you mind? Could you come join me? I decided that if we're going to talk about hunger, we got to get hungry. Pick a side. So back then, in Marlboro Middle School auditorium, Rich and I did this. By the way, this is the good stuff. This is Fred and Murray's. Not some cheap ShopRite knockoff. No, we're going for the real thing here. And yeah, on the Bima, on Yom Kippur, Rich and I made a sandwich. Big sandwich. We're gonna, you know, what they call a nice sandwich. You know? So we have, in here we've got, let's start with the roast beef, the corned beef. Okay, let's get the corned beef out here. You could do that one, Rich. You know, nice sandwich. Let's put it on there. You do that one. I'm going to get out the turkey that's going to go on it. Lest you think this is prop meat, it's not. It smells really good. Aren't you first? We'll put yours on. Pay attention, everybody. You do that side. I'll do this side with the turkey. And, it smells good. Well, didn't have, yeah, fans to sort of blow the smell out toward everybody out there. It's okay, but when we get to the sour pickles, they're going to get it. That's the mustard. You want to actually tell you what? No, it's not. There you go. Look at that. Genius. Now, except I think, why don't you do the mustard on that one? And I'm going to put a little bit of coleslaw on it too, because, you know, a Jewish sloppy joe is a little different from other sloppy joes. So we'll get to that. While we're at it, I mean, you got to go traditional. I got cream soda. I mean, I don't know. Some of you may not be fans, but if you're making deli, you go with cream soda because that's just the way it is. You know, unfortunately, this is ShopRite. They didn't have Dr. Brown's. I apologize. I hear some people going, oh, man, oh. Good. You got the idea. Okay, Rich is doing that. When you get a chance, you'll add some coleslaw to that. And I'm going to take one of his big spoons here and put the potato salad into a bowl. Can you all see? Can everyone see? I want you to be able to see. Ah, man, that looks good. Okay. And we'll take the rest of the coleslaw. I'll take that over here and we'll spoon that one out. Why don't you assemble that into the sandwich? And you want to flip that one over? Good luck with that. Be brave. Coleslaw. And we have just one more thing we need to do. I have a knife over here. And we'll leave that out because I want the smell to waft as we do it. But right here on this one, yeah, thank you. He's good. He's really good. And now we're going to take some good deli sour pickles. Oh, cut them. Yeah, I know he was. That's right. In fact, your father ended up in a pickle jar one day, if I remember correctly. Many times. Ask Rich to tell you that story. And we have lunch. Now who's hungry? Rich, thank you. Thank you very much. I appreciate you doing this. Back then, when I did this, and I asked who was hungry, people's hands started going up. And by the way, throughout the sermon, as the pickle flavor wafted, I could tell what aisle it had reached, because people were suddenly looking like it got punched in the stomach. It's like, oh, it got to row D. I can see what that's going on. And I reminded everyone that it's 7 more hours until we can eat. 7 more hours with no food. And then I said to everybody, there are people who are hungrier than we are, who have no idea where their next meal is coming from or when it's going to be. I said, we have to do something. Even if we can't solve the big world problem, we have to solve part of the problem. Just 2 years earlier, a mensch of a man named Leonard Fine, had come up with the idea for a new organization called Mazon, a Jewish response to hunger. The word Mazon means food. What's a Jewish response to hunger? Food. We know that. And Label, someone called him, Label said, look, when you have a celebration, whatever it costs you, give 3% to feed the hungry. You have a $10,000 celebration, give $300. Everyone can do 3%. And then he said, on Yom Kippur, when we Jews choose not to eat, take a minute, calculate what your food would have cost on that day, and write a check. And let us give it to the people who are going to provide food in our community and across the country and around the world. I loved this idea. And in 1988, Mazon asked congregations to become partners. And I went to our board and said, I'd like to be partners in this, and I'd like to talk about it on Yom Kippur. And a couple of board members said, well, Don, we do our high holiday appeal on Yom Kippur. What's going to happen if you're asking them to give to Mazon and we're asking them to support the temple? And I said, well, if people are going to give to Mazon, they're the kind of people that are going to give to the temple. And if the temple only asks us to do for the temple and no one else, what kind of temple are we? So why don't we try it? So that first year, I stood up on Yom Kippur and I asked everybody to do something on Yom Kippur, something non-orthodox. I asked you to go home in the afternoon and write out a check to Mazon and bring it back on Yom Kippur. Your response was amazing. That first year, we collected thousands of dollars from Mazon, and we became one of the first Mazon partners in the world. The next year, you gave more. The next year, someone said, Rabbi, it's really good that we're doing that. We should keep doing it. But what about the hungry right in our own neighborhood? And we checked out, and we found that there was a soup kitchen in Freehold, Open Door, that was willing to take donations. So we said, you know what? Bring a check for Mazon, and bring some food, too. By this time, we were at Colts Neck High School. We said, bring it, you know, whatever. You know what problem we had? So many people brought so much food that we had to beg everybody to let us use their trunks to put the food in to get it out of Colts Neck High School to bring it back to the temple till we could get it to the soup kitchen. And the next year, you brought more, and the next year, you brought more. And then we went to this organization called the Food Bank of Monmouth and Ocean County. It's now called Fulfill. And we said, hey, we'd like to give you food. Could you send something, a truck or something? They sent us a little van, which we filled. The next year, they sent us a small truck, which we filled. And the next year, they sent us a bigger truck, which we filled. And ever since then, they've sent us the largest truck they own. And we fill it. And I want to tell you a really, really cool story that happened this past week. The day after Rosh Hashanah, we got a call that said there's a new person in charge of the food drives, and she made a mistake, innocent mistake, and there are no trucks available, and so we're going to send you a van. Huh? And so we didn't have a lot of time. This was Thursday. So I went onto Fulfill's website and found the direct line for Kim Guadagno, who is the new chair of Fulfill. She used to be our lieutenant governor. And I called and left a message, but on her message, it gave her cell phone number. She said, if it's urgent, call my cell phone. I called her cell phone. She called me back in 10 minutes. She was in the car. And she said, I had told her the problem. She said, Rabbi, you're from Temple Rodef Torah. We know what you do. I know you have a lot of things you have to worry about before Yom Kippur. This is not one of them. You will have our largest truck. My God, I was so proud. This woman just took over this job. She's in her car. She's not looking at her files. She said, we know you. The truck's outside. That was neat. We brought food. We brought more food. Then someone in the congregation said, why are we just doing it once a year? Why don't we do some food drives? And so we started twice a year, once in the fall, once in the spring, going and standing outside supermarkets and saying to people, here's a shopping list. While you go shopping, would you please just buy one item on this list for someone who's hungry and bring it to us? We'll be standing right here afterwards. And people did. I mean, every once in a while you had the stinker, like, I gave last year. My thought is, and yet here you are shopping for your family again. But for everyone like that, we had 10 people who came out and handed us bags and bags of stuff. And every single time that I've done this, this has happened at least once. A person comes out of the store with a full cart, pushes it over to us, and leaves it, and takes a little bag out of the top and starts to walk away. And I would stop them and I go, excuse me, you left your cart. And they say, no, we just came in for a couple of items. But we saw what you were doing and we really liked it, so all that is for you. It happens over and over again. It's amazing. So we started doing that and bringing food more than once a year. Then a colleague of mine somewhere in California had an idea that he was using where he suggested to people that instead of baskets of flowers for bar and bat mitzvahs and weddings, that we consider using baskets of food and, you know, make them pretty and all of that, nice designs, food comes in all kinds of colors, and that we do that because, you know, flowers, 2 days later, they're dead. What do they really accomplish? But if we bring baskets of food, then when we're done with our celebration, it goes to people who want to eat. And we started offering people a choice, always a choice. You can, for a celebration, you can have baskets of food, baskets of flowers. Virtually everyone in the temple over all these years has used baskets of food. And one time that I loved, I was sitting in my office talking with a family a couple of months before their son's bar mitzvah, and I said, and here's the list, you can bring baskets of food, baskets of flowers. And the parents said, well, we're going to bring flowers, we think it'll be really pretty. The 13-year-old boy looked at them like they had grown 3 heads and went, no, we're not. No, we'll be pretty. No, we're not. We're bringing food, or I'm not doing this. I kept a straight face. Inside, I'm going, yeah, go for it. Yeah, that's right. They brought food. I loved it. And then, a couple years ago, I suggested the most unorthodox thing I have ever suggested in all my time as a rabbi. I thought about the fact that after this service now, you all have some time before the things that go on in the afternoon. And, you know, we try to keep you busy all day. But I know, because it happened only 1 year, years ago, that the worst part, if you're trying to fast, the absolute ultimate worst thing you can do is sit at home. Because if you sit at home, as I've always said, you stare at the refrigerator hoping something will jump out and say, you've got to eat me right now or I'll go bad. It's a terrible way to spend the day. It goes on forever. If you keep busy, the day flies by. It's not really a problem. So I said to everybody, this afternoon, after this service is over, on your way out, we're going to give you another copy of the shopping list. And I'm going to suggest to you that you go to your favorite supermarket today on Yom Kippur and shop for food. And I said to do it, you got to do it a certain way because number one, you can't buy anything for you. Not even that one thing that you were going to pick up as soon as Yom Kippur was over, like on your way home, you need eggs or something. No, nothing for you. Just for people who are hungry. And then I said to the kids, I said, kids, when you go shopping with your parents, you know your pain's in the neck. And you go, I want this, I want this, I want this, I want this. No. You need to go shopping also and not buy a single thing for yourself. We're going to buy things for people who have no food. And what I said was, we're going to do what our ancestors did. We're going to bring an offering. We're going to actually make a Yom Kippur offering. We're going to share our bread with the hungry. You know what happened that afternoon? We had a couple of hundred people come back here laughing. Laughing. You know why they were laughing? Because they went to their supermarket, whichever one it was. And as they walked around through the aisles, they saw other people dressed in suits and dresses and fancy clothing. And everyone was holding a piece of paper in their hand with the temple logo at the top. And they went, oh, you're from Road of Torah? Yeah, isn't this cool? People became friends in the supermarket on Yom Kippur as they realized, we're in this together. We're doing this. Now why? Why this? Why have we concentrated on this so much? Ladies and gentlemen, I don't want you to have sympathy for people who are hungry. I want you to have empathy. The food that we donate is going to go to children in our community who do not have food. The food we donate is going to go to senior citizens in our community who have to choose between rent, medicine, and food. They can afford two of those. Think about it for a minute. Which ones do you choose? Rent, medicine, food. You get to pick two, not three. The food that you and I donate is going to go to veterans who are injured in their service to our country and who are unable to earn a decent living. And they don't have enough money to buy food for their family. And most surprising of all, this one blew me away. The largest concentration of pawn shops in our country is outside of every one of our military bases. Look it up. Our armed service people cannot afford to feed their family while they are in Afghanistan. And so their husbands and their wives are hawking their possessions at the pawn shop outside of McGuire and outside of Fort Dix and outside of Fort Benning and every single fort in this country. They're hawking their possessions to put food on their table while they're serving us. What's wrong here? I'm not talking about the politics part. Not talking about the big picture. That is a whole other discussion. I'm talking about what you and I do about this problem. And this is a problem that you and I can solve. Not solve for the big everything. We can solve it for today. We can solve it for tomorrow for someone who is hungry. How do we do it? We go out and we buy them food. That's all it takes. I mean, when I look at issues like climate change, gun violence prevention, man, these things are going to take years and years and smarter minds than mine to figure out. But I got this one. We can do this. We can change someone's life today by going out and getting them food. Does it solve the problem for next year? No, we'll worry about next year, next year. Now, I know that many of you already came here today with a lot of food because I saw you putting it into the truck, and I'm really glad, and I thank you, and I'm grateful to you. And I know that I can't go out today to go food shopping because I got to do this stuff all day, but that's why my car and Shira's car are stuffed to the gills with food because we went out and did that the other day. So if you already did, great. But if you're looking for something to do this afternoon, if you don't want to go home and sit and stare at the walls, on your way out, just ask the ushers for a shopping list. They've got them there. By the way, on the back of the shopping list is some interesting information about who's hungry. It's worth looking at. Go to your favorite supermarket on Yom Kippur and make a holy offering. See what it feels like to reenact what our ancestors did in the temple in Jerusalem. Because you and I can reenact that, because they used to bring animals to bring to the temple to give as an offering. We don't need the whole animal. But we can use some stuff in cans and boxes and all the other things that are on that list. We can use good food. And by the way, I want to put this out there. It's actually really important. Fulfill has done an amazing job of asking for specific food. They want food that's low sodium. They want food that has certain qualities and not others, because it's not simply enough to stuff food down people's throats. We need to give them healthy food. They're not beggars. They're human beings. They're people like us who are hungry. And just I personally wouldn't take the junk that was left over. I wouldn't want to give someone the junk that's left over either. Sharon and I spent the other evening in the supermarket filling carts. She went to one cashier, I went to another. Both of the cashiers looked in like, wow, you're having quite a party, aren't you? And we just gently explained what we were doing. And each of the cashiers said, that's such a wonderful thing you're doing. This morning, someone told me that they were shopping and explained to the cashier what was happening. And the person next to them online looked and said, that is so cool. Here's $20. Could you please get some more? And what I really truly love, Shari, is that Shari didn't say good, that goes toward the food. She finished checking out, then she went back and took the $20 and bought more food. People are good. People want to help. We don't know how. Here's how. Was Reagan right? Yeah, that welfare queen was cheating people. But you ask, was she 99 out of 100 who were cheating people? Or was she 1 out of 100? Here's what I know. I know. If I'm hungry, I'm not buying a fancy car, and I'm not buying fancy clothing. I'm trying to stretch a dollar so that it can feed me today and maybe tomorrow. And ladies and gentlemen, if my children are hungry, I will steal to get them food. There is almost nothing I won't do. If I were to look at my children and they were to say, Abba, do we have anything to eat? I don't want your sympathy. I need your empathy. Listen not to me. Listen to your stomach. What would it be like if there was not a big, beautiful dinner waiting for you at 7 o'clock tonight? What if you did not know when you will next eat? I will speak for almost everybody in this room. The biggest food decision you and I have is, do I want to eat this or this or this or this? Or do I get takeout? Now imagine the biggest food decision being, how in God's name am I going to find food? When I spoke to Ms. Guadagno, and she said, Rabbi, you're from Temple Road of Torah. I know what you do. You will have a truck. I was so proud to be your rabbi. I was so proud that a stranger who took on a new job covering two counties knew about Little Temple Road of Torah and said, you will have our biggest truck because we know what you do. The largest single day collection of food that Fulfill gets all year long is from us. And they need it. I started this in 1988. And every single year I've had one prayer before Yom Kippur. Please, God, let this not be the year that people say, we did that before, we don't need to do it again. And some of you have seen me between Yisker and Ne'ila going out to the truck and standing there. What you don't hear is the prayer that I say at that moment, which is, thank you, God, for allowing me the honor of being this congregation's rabbi. It's a big, beautiful lunch. Looks really good. And I'm going to leave it here for now, just for you to meditate on. When you leave, take a shopping list and do a holy act this afternoon. Do something genuinely holy. listen to the prophet Isaiah. Is this not the fast I ask, that you share your bread with the hungry? Ladies and gentlemen, Kedushah, sanctity awaits us. It sits right in front of us now. Please, God, let us respond more than to the sound of the shofar, more even than the call of our hearts. Today, could we please respond to the call of...
This podcast is copyright 2024 Rabbi Don Weber. All rights reserved. You may copy and distribute any episode freely as long as it is preserved in its entirety. For additional permissions, please contact me. Thank you.